This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
8:15, now quarter after 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, beautiful spring day. Spring began at about maybe 4 or 5 hours ago, something like that, I think. Either way, it is officially spring. It feels nice outside, invigorating, 52 degrees currently, winds blowing, so it's going to feel a little bit cooler than that. It could be windy all day, really, with highs around 62 degrees. That's going to be right when the sun sets, around 6 o'clock. Then tomorrow, highs of 67, plenty of sunshine, and just a beautiful weekend. Highs of 74 on Saturday, 76 on Sunday. And I don't mean to belabor the point, but before you know it, it is going to be miserably hot and humid. So if you can, get out and enjoy this weather while you can. We're going to talk with about some road projects going on with DOTD now, specifically as it relates to St. Tammany Parish, but some others as well. And if you all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870, I'll be glad to pass them along to Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer for DOTD. How you doing, Daniel?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. If I can work my way from home and then out to St. Tammany. A quick word about the Belchase Bridge. Does DOTD have anything to do with that at all, or is that all a plenary private project?
Well, you know, DOTD is in charge of, you know, overseeing the project, but that's a private partnership project, which means that in order to get financial support to build the bridge, it goes out to a third-party company, Flannery, in this position, mm-hmm. and they are in charge of it really all the way through. So exciting news about the Belchase Bridge opening. I know they have some approaches and things that they need to finish up on, but Flannery is in charge of it, and they're also going to be in charge of overseeing all the tolling operations for about 30 years per contract. So we are excited for the people down there and making progress and obviously getting that bridge open. That's a big deal for people down there.
Yeah, just to be clear, and again, I know they talked about opening. It's been one lane for the last couple of days, so there's still traffic bottlenecks. They made it seem as though, I'm not talking about DOTD, they made it seem as though the bridge was wide open, and that's not the case. Let's hope they get it rectified sooner rather than later. Tell me about what's going on the North Shore, about a $30 million project on US 190 from the Boga Flyer Bridge to Louisiana 437, and I think it's commonly known as Lee Road.
That's right. And for those people who are not familiar with the North Shore, I think a lot of people are familiar with Causeway Bridge, mm-hmm. Which goes over Lake Pontchartrain and ends up in Mandeville. And when you get to Mandeville, the main highway is US 190, and that basically goes north. For a long time, that highway was a two- or a four-lane highway. It's been reconstructed into what we call a super street. It's got three lanes in each side, and it moves the traffic very well all the way through the I-12 corridor and all the way north. Once you get past that area and you get into Covington itself, basically the highways go from three lanes in each direction to one lane in each direction as you go over the Boga Flyer Bridge. The Boga Flyer River cuts right through Covington. And for a long time, the roads above that, including Lee Road, LA 21, LA 25, those roads were all basically one-lane highways with a lot of farmland on each side. And we saw a population boom, obviously, in the last 25 or 30 years, and now you have a lot of development in these areas. So you have a tremendous amount of traffic that's now continuing north on 190 over I-12 through I-12 into Covington, and it's been bottlenecked for the good part about 20 years. So this project takes an old post-World War II bridge with one lane in each direction over that, and basically now we have a brand new two-lane bridge adjacent to the old bridge. So very soon we're going to have multiple lanes going in each direction, which will help clear up that bottleneck.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking about some highway improvements. We've already addressed the Belchase Bridge and also talking about the St. Tammany Parish with Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer for DOTD. You got any questions, comments about any DOTD projects? 504-260-1870. That's the Oquinard Jeweler Talk and Text Line. I'll pass them along. We come back. And a quick programming note. We're going to talk at 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock hour to our friend John Alzheimer, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. Every time we have him on, people wait until like 9:30, 9:40 to start texting in their questions. He calls it the fastest hour in radio, and it really is because there are so many different questions about building or repairing your credit scores, how you can help your kids start building theirs, how to protect yours from theirs, maybe what number you should be aiming for, credit myths, all that stuff. Man, now's the time to text your questions in. I'll start keeping track of them, and then I'll pass them along to John and keep listening so you can hear his answer at 9 o'clock, 8:21, traffic now, WWL. 8:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer for DOTD. Daniel, I asked people to text in some questions, and they have, so let's get to them, all right? Somebody wants to know, a couple of people actually want to know about the bridges at Pearl River and Highway 190, U.S. 90 bridges leading to Mississippi and St. Tammany Parish.
Sure, that's some people are very interested in. I think it's important to note that DOTD's been working very hard the last several years coming up with a plan for those bridges. There is a design for a fix with that. The bottom line on those bridges is the cost estimate is in the $250 to $300 million range. It's just not money that is available right now. Those are environmentally protected waters. And the base of the bridge itself is 100 years old. So the entire bridge has to be removed and an entire basically new structure connecting the roads has to be put in place. So it's something that's higher on our priority list as far as need. We have been in a discussion certainly with local officials. Some of the national officials have been trying to work with us to get that money. That amount of money is almost our entire bridge budget for 1 year across the entire state. So it's one of these situations where we're going to have to wait until additional funding becomes available. Hopefully that'll be sooner than later, but we don't have an exact date on that one.
Somebody wants to know, can you discuss that we desperately in St. Tammany Parish need a red light at the intersection of 1081 Stafford Road and 4?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
37, Lee wrote, it's so dangerous. So many lives lost in the past 5 years, too many people in this area. Is that in your purview, DOTD, and what's involved in determining whether you need a light or not?
Sure. A lot of people have questions about intersections, those type of things. What's important to note is that those type of intersections go through traffic studies constantly. In order to get a traffic light, you have to hit a certain number of data points in order to do that, because the funding comes from state, federal dollars, and it has to hit those markers as far as a number of travelers coming in each direction, requirements, those type of things. What we're doing a lot of right now, instead of traffic lights, is we're implementing roundabouts in the area. Roundabouts keep traffic flowing better. They are also much, much safer. It doesn't allow someone the opportunity to run a red light at high speed. So I will certainly, I'm taking your notes right now, writing it down, and we'll get some information on that a little bit later. But we do have a tremendous traffic department up here in St. Tammany, who does monitor all of our intersections. And we have such a dynamic and fast-growing population up here that new issues do come up. So we absolutely appreciate people letting us know when they think there's an issue for us to look at.
This is more of a general question, apparently, for one of my fellow Belchasians or Plaquemines Parish people. But they want to know about this public-private partnership about going forward, and Sean Wilson, the previous Secretary of Department of Transportation Development, told me this personally, that this is going to be the new model going forward. And I think a lot of people feel as though, okay, well, if we're stuck with tolls for 30 years, as you mentioned earlier, you didn't say stuck, those are my words, as long as this is a new model for everybody. Now, I don't know how that goes with administration, but when it comes to constructing new bridges or major projects, is the public-private partnership in tolls, is that going to be the new model going forward or not?
Yeah, there are a couple models going forward. And for those of us, for those of you listening right now, it's important to note that Louisiana does not have a lot of toll roads, whereas all major states around us have a lot of toll roads. The money that was given to build some of these bridges comes back to the 1950s. Where there was mass amounts of money given out by the federal government to bring up and build our infrastructure. Those bridges are not in great standing anymore, and they need to be rebuilt. Well, the money is not there anymore coming out of the federal government to rebuild these bridges. So there's two ways to do it. One of them is to build them and create the state to build them and create toll roads. The other way is to do these private partnerships and allow other companies to come in, build structures, and then basically get paid back over a period of time. This is very standard now as far as how these projects work. The other answer to that is to dramatically raise taxes in order to get those types of money. So a private partnership, for example, basically the people who use the bridge, they use these roads, they're the ones who end up sort of paying the greater amount for it instead of spreading the money all over the state. You can think that's unfair when it comes to Belchase, but when you're looking at bridges,
we're out of time here, Dan. You can come back whenever
sure.
You want. I think the point is that if it's good for us, it's good for everybody else. That's all, I think, is what everybody's saying. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll come back, talk with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate, about the Fed meeting. A couple of minutes late, time for WWL First News. WWL quickly to Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate, to talk about the Fed's meeting. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. Wasn't long ago that the Fed would meet. Nobody knew, nobody cared, nobody paid a lot of attention to it. Those times are not the same now. Tell me what happened with the Federal Reserve meeting and what was the result and what it means for people.
The one thing that was expected was that they were going to leave interest rates unchanged, and that was certainly the case. They released their updated economic projections. That's something they only do once per quarter. mm-hmm. and some pretty notable changes since the last time they did that back in December. They've revised their estimates for economic growth notably lower. They do expect inflation to be higher this year, not lower. And a lot of that really traces back to tariffs and just the broader uncertainty that tariffs and other policy changes have created among both businesses and consumers.
Talk about the uncertainty, if you will, because as it is, the Fed's trying to read the tea leaves and make decisions today that are going to have effects in the future, and with a higher degree or more uncertainty factors, that's got to be increasingly difficult, huh?
Exactly, and which is why they really punted on any changes to interest rates, and they seem to indicate that they feel the economy's in a good spot now, but they want to evaluate the incoming data and have a little bit more clarity before they decide what that next move is going to be. And so, if the Fed is going to reduce interest rates, we need to see inflation come down. The one thing that could force their hand is if we saw a sudden deterioration in the labor market, that could get the Fed to cut rates. But, that's under the careful what you wish for category. But, the lack of clarity, from the Fed's perspective, that, they want to see more data so that things are a little bit more clear, so they know what to do. And in the meantime, they feel like interest rates and the economy are in a good spot. From a business and consumer standpoint, that uncertainty, that lack of clarity has really dented sentiment. Consumer sentiment has plunged, some of the lowest levels we've seen, really rivaling what we saw in the Great Financial Crisis. And business sentiment, when businesses don't have a whole lot of clarity, they don't take risks. They don't go out and hire a bunch of people. They don't expand production. They don't make investments. They instead sit back and wait for the dust to settle. And so all of that could really be a headwind to the economy. And that's why it's going to be, there's going to be really a lot of data dependence in the next few months, not just on the inflation front, but also, are we seeing any deterioration in the economic fundamentals?
There are a lot of different things that comprise the economy. Certainly, it could be the stock market, it could be inflation, it could be consumer confidence, etc. When it comes to the R word, recession, for people that don't know, explain what that is, and did the Fed have any comment on the likelihood of that?
Recession is, broadly speaking, when the economy is contracting, when it is not growing, but it is shrinking. And, the textbook definition is if gross domestic product, which is the measure of total economic output, if that shrinks two quarters in a row, the reality of it is it's more complicated than that. There's a lot of different variables that get looked at in determining whether or not there was a recession. And recessions are really only evident in the rearview mirror. So by the time a recession is officially declared, we've usually exited it and the recovery is underway. What the Fed said is, the odds of recession have gone up, but they're still very, very low. Those odds are never zero. Even when everything's going swimmingly, there's always a risk of being broadsided by something else. But a lot of economists, we survey economists every quarter, and a lot of those estimates lately have been 15, 20, 25% chance of recession. And so some of those forecasts have gone up to 20, 25, 30% odds. So up a little bit, but still very, very low, speaking to the fact that the economy's coming from a position of strength. We've seen really consistent job growth, unemployment's low. Spending's been a little choppy lately, but overall it's hung in there quite nicely.
So somebody texted in and said, I'm just an average guy. How would a recession affect me?
That's a situation where, in recessions, it's, the labor market, is tougher. So, overtime gets cut. There are fewer jobs. Unemployment goes up. Even if you keep your job, it's an environment where if the economy's weaker, business isn't great. So, it's tougher to get that raise. You get a little more work piled on you because, the employer's paired headcount. They're just never fun by any means. And but again, I think the odds of that are quite low. What I would say to the listener and anybody else that's concerned about that is, in the meantime, just control what you can control. Pay down debt, build up your emergency savings. I think those are two really big things that can really make a big difference to stabilize your financial foundation. And that way, you can better weather whatever the economy may throw in our way at some point down the road. And you'll sleep better in the interim. If you have less debt and more savings, you'll sleep better.
Any final thoughts, Greg?
We've seen a lot of market choppiness, and I would expect that volatility to continue. But for retirement savings, this is long-term savings. Don't get distracted by that day-to-day volatility. Keep making those regular 401k contributions.
Thank you, sir. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. If anything, when it's down, that's the time to make the contributions. 854-6 till 9, traffic now, WWL.